I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here.
It's been a longer than it should have been. But I'm thankful to be here. And I want to give a testimony, my testimony, and I just want to tell you that serving the Lord is the most wonderful life you can have. It's the most fulfilling life you can have. If you really want to enjoy life, get saved and serve the Lord. It's exciting at every turn. You never lack for a cup full of joy that's just plumb overflowing. And I'm just going to say that the Lord has been good to me, and I recommend this to everyone. So, young people, put all your eggs in one basket. It's all good. The Lord has given us something this morning just for LaRonger, and I'm thankful to get to be here. The Lord gives the messages, and many times I feel them profoundly, but sometimes in getting them out of my mouth can be a bit of a challenge because I don't always give it justice. Well, let me just tell you, the Lord has given an awesome message. But now, your messenger, you're just going to have to pray for her. That's all there is to it. So I want to start out with writing a word on the board or a phrase on the board. Identity crisis. That is, I don't know who I am, really. Don't know what I stand for. Don't know where I am or what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, that can happen whether we want it to or not. So this is what the Lord has for us this morning. So I desire that you pray for me. I want to start out with Numbers, the 13th chapter. These are familiar passages to us. Numbers 13. And we're going to start with 26. Numbers 13 and 26. It says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They had just come back from viewing that land over there, Canaan land, and they had brought back beautiful things. They had a cluster of grapes that had to be bore upon a staff." Now, I remember thinking these grapes must have been the size of grapefruit, but no, it's a cluster of grapes that was just extended, and it was so heavy they had to carry it with a pole between two men. That's how abundant this was. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey, and the Lord had promised it many years before. And he says, "Now I want you to claim it. I want you to take it. I want you to homestead it, so to speak. I want it to be yours because I gave it to you." And they came back with some positive report, but they came back with negative report. So I want you to think about that. And they told him, and he said, "We come into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Isn't that a beautiful testimony? "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in their own sight, our own sight, as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. All they could look at was the enemy. And we live in a world that's sometimes all we can see. So they were able to identify the enemy. But what happened was, that's all they could identify, was the enemy. And that's not the plan of a child of God. We have an enemy. They are of great stature. We will look like grasshoppers in their presence. But they forgot who they were. And they forgot who they served. And Caleb had said, let us go up at once, because he knew, I am a child of God. I serve a God that's greater than us being a grasshopper. Because the reality of it was, they were grasshoppers in their sight. They were little in their sight, but they had lost sight of who God was. And the anger of God was kindled against them, and they lost their opportunity to gain what the Lord had promised to them before. And I look at that and I think, all they could focus on was the enemy. They couldn't focus on anything else. And so we know the story. Joshua and Caleb, you know, for 40 years they had to watch their friends die. They had to watch their brothers and sisters die. And they had to be, when they reached that land, they were the oldest men there. And you know, that had to have pulled at their heartstrings and saying, 40 years ago, we could have done it. And you know, that testimony, was it Joshua? It says, give me this mountain. He says, my strength has not been assuaged in all of this time. I am still as strong as I was 40 years ago, and my vision hasn't changed. It's because they were looking at God. Lord, help us. We live in a crazy world, do we not? And sometimes our focus is so much on that we forget who we are in Him, and we forget what He is. So I want us to go to a success story. So let's go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We're going to start out with little David. He stood small, and the Goliath was so tall. 22nd verse, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Who were they looking at? They had an identity crisis. All they could see was the enemy, and he is bigger than we are. Oh, Lord, help us. And the men of Israel, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is he that defies my God? David did not have an identity crisis. He was so young, but he knew what God had done for him, and he knew who he was. I am God's child. Do you realize this uncircumcised Philistine is making fun of our God, the great God that we serve? People answered and said, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard him when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And I'm sure he just took him by the collar and said, why camest thou here? You know how big brothers do to little brothers. You know how that goes. What are you doing here? who's keeping the sheep? Why camest thou down thither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And I'm going to put a little mark there. David, in the 20th verse, said, rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. Yes. He was responsible.
Yes.
But he also knew something's going on here that's just a little bit out of character for a child of God to have to face. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He was making fun of him. But David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Y'all have lost your vision on this. A little boy, a young lad, saying, what is the matter with you guys? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go. I'll go and fight with this Philistine. If y'all don't have the courage, I'll do it. And it's not because David said, I'm pretty good with the slingshot. He went with what he was familiar with because he knows what he has done. He said, I have a past record with the Lord. He and I get along real good. And I have been able to kill a lion and a bear to keep my sheep safe. And that same God that I serve is able to defeat this giant. David had a complete, perfect vision of his identity. And I think we can gain courage from that. David was smaller than the giant. He was. But he wasn't really looking at that part. So we'll skip on down because, you know, they tried to put the armor on and David said, I haven't tried these things. Let me just take what I know. And he went and gathered 5 stones. We know that. Put them in a pouch, took his slingshot and went toward Goliath. David was not going in David's strength. David said, this is the God I serve. You are defying the God I serve. Okay. Do we have the enemy defying the God now? All around us. But are we just thinking about the enemy? Oh, this thing's getting ready to pass in Washington. This is getting ready to happen in our state. This is crowding into our homes. Who are you afraid of? David had the proper identity. So we'll do that again. He wasn't too worried about the enemy, and you notice he's the last on the list, but he knew who God was. And he knew who he was as a child of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Who are you? Are you really a son of God? Then said David, let's go down to the 41st verse. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Goliath was used to being a bully. He was used to that. He had the strength of it. You think about the strength in his arms, the strength in his legs, the strength just probably in his neck. He had muscles on muscles. He was able. He was a man who had been in military combat or abilities since his youth, it said. He had already been trained in this way. And when he sees this skinny little boy come up to defy him, he's a little bit put out. Who are you against me? And then he starts this heckling bit. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Was the Philistine's gods powerful? No. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, this is where David knew where he was at. Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you with something so much greater than you can ever imagine. You better be scared. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. That's what troubled David. You've defied the God I serve. And I'm not too worried about you, but you better be worried about the God I serve, because he's a lot bigger than you. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Why did he run? Because he knew God was backing him every step of the way. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. And you know, David, I don't think David, and yes, they were excellent target masters. They knew how to do that. But I'm confident that David was slinging that stone knowing that God was going to guide it where he wanted it. And smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. He wasn't going to wait for that just to be the end, but he was ready for this to be a complete slaughter of the Philistine. Took the giant's own sword, and I've thought about how heavy that sword must have been. Did he pull it up as high as he could and let it fall because it was so heavy? Possibly, because the gravitational force on that huge sword had to have been something. He might have been able to have wielded it and actually chopped his head off. But he drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And I think how interesting that the Philistine was cut by was destroyed by his own. Weapon. God does that, doesn't he? This world, they roar, they make a lot of noise, and they are big, but the God we serve is bigger. Let us be encouraged in knowing, who are you in him? Do you have a confidence in him? Do you know you're his child? Do you know that everything available to you was available to Christ? It's available to you. Do you know you have the whole kingdom of God on your side? Do you recognize the power that's behind that? Do you understand that? Okay, Daniel, the third chapter. We have the three Hebrew children that knew their identity too. They wasn't too worried about, they had an evil political system. We think ours is. It's nothing to compare to what those of old had to face. Shadrach, this is the third chapter of Daniel, and the 16th verse, it said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, because we know the God we serve. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I'm not worried about what you can do to us, because we serve a God that's bigger than you, which is not what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to hear. And we have political forces that don't want to hear that there's a God bigger than them. But he is. Do you think those three Hebrew children worried? Do you think they were fearful? I really don't think they were, because they thought, the Lord has this in his hands and he's going to take care of us. I don't think David was afraid. You know, I've had my places of fear. I've had my worry stones that I have rubbed, so to speak. And I'll lay it down and just to pick it up again. And the Lord checked me on that. And that scripture says, I will trust and not be afraid. And the Lord said, you're afraid. Are you really trusting? So, that's me, Lord. Help me out. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And you know, we can run to the Lord with that. We can run to the Lord with our fears. I don't want to be fearful. You're bigger than all of this. I don't want to be scared every time the enemy is shaking a weapon at me. I want to be able to stand up and say, do what you think you got to do, but you're going to deal with a God later on. Do you know, Stephen did not have an identity crisis. He knew who he was in the Lord. He knew that they were going to kill him. And this is why he said, don't lay that sin to their charge, because he knew the enemy was even beyond these people. It was much greater than these people. But it wasn't going to suck him in. And he was redeemed to the Lord's bosom. He was gathered in the Lord's bosom, in his presence. And do you know it had an effect? Because they laid his clothes at where? A young man named Saul. And you know that mentally did something to Saul. And we're thankful it did. You think of all the wonderful souls that Paul reached. He still reaches us with his gospels that he wrote. And I thank the Lord for that. Or his books that he wrote. The gospels were written by different men. So my charge is to you is to not be careful, but be confident. I don't have to be careful because of the enemy. I can be confident because I'm a child of God. I can be confident because I serve the greatest of greats. Do you know it says looking unto Jesus? So that's why God is at the top. Your identity crisis will disappear when you put God at the top. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. He will see me through the beginning and he will see me to the end of this thing. And I thank the Lord for that. And I think also of how many scriptures do we have? I can do all things through Christ. Did it say I can do some things through Christ? A few things through Christ? No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The other one is where the sin doth abound, the grace of God doth what? Much more abound. And we need to live that way. With encouraged knowing I can go forth and face anything that the enemy has to put in my path. The other one is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In this world, Jesus' words, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We serve a God who never lost a battle. What kind of odds is that? I want to throw everything I have into that bucket. Don't you think? Yes. Success rate, 100%. So I want to leave you with this last scripture, Isaiah. Beautiful, beautiful words. Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. You take little children to a swimming pool and you'll wear them out. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, yes, shall renew their strength. Yes, They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord. Amen.